Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here in this room and each and every person that's watching us online. And Father God, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you today as we go to study your word, that your word will not return void. But Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take forth the word that we hear that springs forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your anointing that's present this morning, your anointing that's here, and we just stir that anointing up. And we thank you, Father, that that anointing will minister the hearts and lives all around us, Father. And Father God, we thank you for Dad, and we thank you that his body is well and whole. We thank you that his back is well, or whatever's causing this issue, we command it to leave. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, just kind of let you know, sometimes people wonder, well, how in the world do we come up with our messages and things like that? So I'll tell you exactly how this message came about. Yesterday afternoon, I kind of got the word that I'm ministering. So, I wasn't prepared, I did have a certain message prepared that I was going to preach on. So I kind of had a couple of thoughts. Of course, as you know, my son Cameron races, and so we had to go to the race last night. And so I got in the car, turned on the radio, see what the football scores were, because I didn't watch a lot of the games or whatever. Found that Michigan got beat pretty bad. Too bad. Then I said, well, I'm just going to pray. And, I had about an hour drive, so I had plenty of time to pray. And the Lord, kind of told me what to do, gave me scriptures, gave me everything. But he said to have another healing service. Now, we had one on Wednesday night. I'm like, Lord, we don't need another healing service. We had one on Wednesday night. But he told me, he says that, but I've given you a special healing anointing. And many of you have heard my grandfather, he talked about that my healing anointing was three times stronger than his. And so, like I said, he gave me the scriptures and everything, but then after the race, we didn't do any good in the race. That's okay. We didn't wreck or we didn't have any issues, so that was the main thing. Sometimes it's just good to push the car in with no damage, because there was about five cars that got damaged pretty bad last night. So anyway, on the way home, I figured, I'm just going to pray some more and make sure that that's what we have. So I prayed for about 30 minutes, not the whole time, about 30 minutes. Then turned back on the radio, found out about the football scores, what went on that night. I'm being honest. I'm not telling you. I'm going to tell you I prayed the whole hour because I didn't. All right? So got home, got my scriptures, went to bed praying, woke up 6:30 this morning praying. I want to make sure that's what God wants me to do. All right. Somebody needs healed this morning, though, because he kept saying, over and over again, this, I want you to preach healing. I want you to preach healing. So I'm going to start out in a scripture that I start out quite a bit. John 10:10. John 10:10. Because this is what the Lord told me to start out with. John 10:10. The New King James Version, it says, the thief does not come to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So, the devil, El Diablo, he comes to destroy our life. And one way he tries to destroy our life is through sickness and disease. All right? But Jesus says that I have come. In fact, in the New Living, it says my purpose. So one of his main purposes of coming to this earth, besides to save us, was that we might have an abundant life. Well, part of having an abundant life is having a healthy life. And I'm here to tell you, when you're in pain, it's not abundant. Well, maybe your pain might be abundant, but it's not an abundant life. You know, and I've never walked into a hospital room and saw someone and said, well, they're living an abundant life. It's God's will for you to be healed. All right? And that was one of the purposes of Jesus coming to this earth, for you to be healed. Healing belongs to you. And of course, I didn't know they were going to sing the song this song today, but you know, that's awesome. Healing belongs to you. And I believe that we're living in the last days. In the last days, it's times of signs, wonders, and miracles. And I believe that we're going to see more signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. But we have to come expecting signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. They don't just happen because we just show up. They happen because we come expecting them. And what we expect is what we receive. The next scripture he said to do was 1 Peter 2:24. Well, we all know that it says that by his stripes we were healed. So see, one of his purposes coming here was to heal us. And one of the last things he did on this earth was to take the 39 stripes on his back for our healing. Now, we also need to understand that, you know, he died on the cross, you know, for our sins. But the stripes were extra. Or dad says extra. They were extra. He didn't have to take those 39 stripes, but he did for our healing. And I've heard many people have, you know, got some kind of wrong theology, said, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus suffered those stripes for you. So you do not have to suffer. And it's not God's will for you to suffer. He wants to see you healed. And I tell you what, man, if you're in pain, it's no fun. It's no fun. I mean, you know, debilitating pain is terrible. But Jesus didn't come for us to be in pain. Jesus didn't come for us to be depressed. Jesus didn't come, you know, because see, when you have pain, it causes depression. It causes, you know, some people I've even thought, I don't even know if I want to live anymore. But God sent Jesus Christ on this earth to heal us. Now, while he walked this earth, we see many examples of people being healed under his ministry. So we're going to look at a couple of those, because those are the scriptures that the Lord gave me. We're going to start out in Mark chapter 10, Mark the 10th chapter, verse number 46. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. I read a lot from the New Living, but today I'm going to read from the New King James just because I want to. All right. Plus, I mean, most of the time when I preach on this, it's either been the King James or the New King James. It says, now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now, many times that we read, you know, things, people get healed and we clap about it. Praise God. God healed that man. You know, but there was more to it than that. So I read the story, but I want to look more in depth. I like to take, you know, stories and look in depth. And first of all, think about if you were blind Bartimaeus. Every day, think about, this is your life. Every day, somebody, because, it, you know, I don't believe that he has a seeing eye dog, because it doesn't sound like he does, because it doesn't mention there's any seeing eye dog. So I'm assuming that every day that somebody led him there to the gate there at Jericho, because see, at the gate of the city, many people were coming in and coming out. It was a good place to beg. Kind of, you know, if you lived here in Tulsa, it'd be kind of like 71st and 169. All right. Now, most of you understand that at 71st and 169 in the Tulsa area, I'm sure you that are watching us, there's probably a place in your city where people tend to beg. But 71st and 169, there's always somebody there asking for something. Anyone notice that? And so I'm sure he wasn't the only one here at the gate. All right. Now this guy, his name is Blind Bartimaeus, and now I say, well, nobody uses the name Bartimaeus anymore, so we'll just call him Blind Bart. Now, you know, I don't know if many of you have been in church very long, but one of the things that they tell you is to speak into existence what you want. So if you don't want to be blind, don't make that your first name. His name was, everyone called him Blind Bart. I mean, so I'm sure every day when people walked up, hey, Blind Bart, how you doing today? His first name was Blind. Second name was Bart. All right, so I'm here to tell you, if you get diagnosed with cancer or whatever, don't call yourself cancerous, you know, Craig, or cancerous Joe, or whatever. Call yourself healed. Speak into existence what you want to see. Because I know a lot of people, you know, I'm using cancer, for example, because cancer has touched a lot of people's families, that every time you see this person, all they do is tell you they have cancer. They have cancer. Well, you know what? If you don't want to have it, quit holding on to it. Don't have it anymore. Now, you can say, well, the doctors have diagnosed me with cancer, but I don't believe their report. I know that I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Now, my grandfather, he always would say this, and many of you remember him, that he would say these words. He would say, you know, that the last headache I had was August of 1933. Not me, because I wasn't alive in August 1933, but my grandfather would say that. And then he would say this. He would say, I passed up many marvelous opportunities to have a headache. Anyone hear him say those words? He said them all the time. Well, then one day he was in my office, and I decided, you know, this would be a marvelous opportunity to ask him about marvelous opportunities. So I decided to ask him. I said, okay, Papa, I said, what is a marvelous opportunity to have a headache? I just want to know if I've ever had one of those. And you know what he told me? He says, you know, there are some times that my head would start hurting. But as soon as my head started hurting, I decided I didn't want to have a headache. And so I would say, I'm not going to take that headache. And the headache would go. That was a marvelous opportunity. Because see, I know some people get discouraged, well, because their head started hurting. That's just a marvelous opportunity. All right? Many times in life, we go to the doctor, and the doctor diagnoses us with something. That's a marvelous opportunity to get rid of that. All right? And when you have a marvelous opportunity, that doesn't mean that it's yours. You have what you say you have. So here's Bart, Blind Bart. He's sitting by the temple, or sitting by the gate there. And all of a sudden, he hears that Jesus is coming through the gate. Now, obviously, he must have heard some testimonies of some other blind people that was healed. But understand that everywhere where Jesus went, there was also a multitude of people following him. And notice that Jesus, some people think, well, Jesus was standing there ministering. He wasn't ministering. He was walking out of the gate. He was on the way out of town. All right, so he was walking, and here's this man, Blind Bart. And he says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, he had heard testimonies, I'm assuming. We don't know what he heard, but I'm assuming he had heard testimonies of Jesus, because if he wouldn't have heard any testimony, he wouldn't have cared who was walking through town unless they had some money that they wanted to give to him. Right? I mean, so... But when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Or basically he said, Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. All right, he began to cry out. Now, the reason he cried out is because there were a multitude of people. I mean, if he went to go try to walk to Jesus, and remember, Jesus is moving. He's a moving target. I mean, if he's, you know, and he wasn't preaching. If someone's preaching, then they're always talking. He probably was just walking. All right, so he wouldn't know where he was. So he couldn't get to Jesus, you know, himself. So he used the only thing he had, his voice. And he began to cry out, "Jesus, help me." And when he began to cry out, people around him began to cry out and say, "Bart, be quiet, you're hurting my ears. You're yelling. It hurts." Now you have to realize that this is a big deal, because Bart's only job, the only way he could make any kind of money, was stand there at the gate and beg for money. And he was counting on the goodness of people to give him money so he could survive. Well, you know, the people that were standing around him were probably people who lived there in the city. Probably people who knew him. You know, they always say, don't bite the hand that feeds you. So it's probably not really good for you to be making these people mad. In fact, I know how people are. You know, people haven't changed. I know it's a different generation, and I know it's a different money system. But in our day and age, I'm sure there's somebody would go, "You know what, Bart? If you'll be quiet, I'll give you $20. Probably the guy goes, "I'll give you $20 more. Pretty soon, he could have raised $100 just by shutting up. You know, when you think about this, if you're a blind beggar, I mean, you know, if you're a beggar, period, whether you're blind or whether you're not, it doesn't matter. But if you're a beggar, when there are a lot of people around, that's the good time to beg. Now, also, the people that were around Jesus, you know, they weren't Christians, because you can't be Christian, you know, Christ, you can't be a Christ follower until after Christ passed away. We became Christians, that most of them were Jews, and they're learning about Christ and learning about this, but they were good people. Good people tend to be more generous. All right, so it was prime begging season. I'm just being honest. Everyone believe that? That it was prime begging season? Lots of people, lots of nice people, good people, people who care. And so really Bart was faced with a choice. Because you know what? He never knew whether Jesus was ever going to hear him. Because what if Jesus never heard him and he walked on and Bart ticked everybody off around about him? Plus, he missed out on a good begging season. I mean, think about it. He could have begged so much, he could have went on vacation. You know, got enough money to take off for a few days. You know, go see the sights. Oh, I guess he can't see anything. But anyway, go lay on the beach or something. I don't know. I mean, really, he was faced with a choice. And plan A, keep yelling, hoping Jesus is going to stop. Plan B, make money. So there was a plan B there, or there could have been a plan B. But see, with faith, there is no plan B. There's only a plan A. So if you have a plan B, you're not in faith. You're only in faith wherever your plan is. Whatever your lowest plan is, that's where you're believing. Because you wouldn't come up with a plan B if you believed in plan A. Plan B was to make money. Plan A is get my healing. And praise God, Bart decided he's going to stick with plan A. And it didn't matter who he ticked off. It didn't matter who he made mad. Because you know what? Tomorrow he wasn't going to be begging here any longer. So instead of being quiet, he got louder. "Jesus, help me. I need help. I need help. I need help." Now, here's what's so awesome about the day and age that we live in. We don't have to try to find Jesus. We don't have to yell out for him. He's right. Wherever we are, he's there also. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. All we have to do is call out to him, no matter where we are. And he's right there. In that day and age, they had to go find Jesus. They had to go find their healer. But see, the healer's already found us. And all we have to do is call out. But anyway, so here he was, ticking everybody off by yelling and screaming. But verse 49, one of my favorite things, it says, remember Jesus is walking up to this point. And then it says this, so Jesus stood still. So here Jesus is walking, all of a sudden, Jesus stood still. And he commanded him to be called. He said, Bart, come on down. Your healing is here. Maybe he didn't say those words, but that's what he meant, you know. I like the prices, right? I mean, I love it when people get a new car, things like that, you know. So, Bart, come on down. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he calling you. Well, the people that was probably telling him with that were the people he was just yelling at a few minutes ago. And I believe, because, you know, this isn't in the Bible, this is what Craig believes, okay? Might be wrong, might be right, but I believe it's right. I bet you one of those guys that he was yelling in that guy's ear probably grabbed him by the hand and took him to Jesus. Well, because they're right there by him. Makes the most sense. It didn't say that Bart took a seeing eye dog and began to walk, you know. No, someone had to take him, so it was probably one of those guys. And that guy probably got there and says, you know what, a few minutes ago I just told Bart, man, Bart, if you keep yelling, if you keep crying out, that Jesus is going to hear you. Probably what the guy did, you know, because it's like the guy who, you know, who doesn't give anything toward the new building project when the new building's open. Oh, praise God, look what we've done. Well, you haven't done anything. You just showed up. And then we got to love him anyway. But anyway, it says, you know, they told Bart, and rise, he calleth you. And so whenever Bart got up, he threw his coat off. And many of us think, oh, maybe he was getting hot or whatever. But no, it wasn't that. That coat that he had, you have to understand, during those days, people wore clothing based upon where they're at in life. Bart's coat signified he was a lowly old blind beggar, or beggar. And so when Bart came to Jesus, he threw his coat off, signifying, I don't need this anymore, because I'm no longer going to be a beggar. You know, I know a lot of people that they would hold the coat on and say, well, in case I need to put this back on, let me bring it with me. But no, Bart, he threw it away. Because he said, you know what, when I get to Jesus, I'm not going to need this coat anymore. I'm no longer going to be blind, and I'm no longer going to have to beg. I'll let someone of my buddies have two coats. That's fine. You know, so we need to throw off our coat of sickness. Throw off our coat of disease. Throw off our coat of poverty. I mean, sometimes you can decide, you know what, I'm just throwing that coat off. I'm not going to have that anymore. I'm tired of having that coat on. I mean, this coat's no good anyway. Has a few holes in it, so I'm just going to throw it aside. Anyway, so he got there. I mean, think about this. Think about if you're that man. I mean, here you are. You're fronting Jesus. I mean, all the things you've gone to get there. I mean, you made people mad. I mean, you know, you've had to cry out. You've done all this stuff. And you get there, and as soon as you stand in front of Jesus, Jesus asks a question. What do you want? That's what he said. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't it obvious? Obviously, the guy couldn't see. If he could have seen, he wouldn't even have to yell at him. But it didn't matter. You know what? We have not because we ask not. Ask what we will and it shall be done. So the blind man said, I want to receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Now notice that Jesus didn't touch the guy's eyes. Now, has anyone read the New Testament? Especially the Gospels? Oh, good. I got about 20% of here in church have read the New Testament. If you have read some of the New Testament, especially some of the Gospels, you probably have seen other stories where Jesus healed the blind men. In one story, remember that he spit on the ground and made clay, and he put it in the guy's eyes and told the guy to go wash off in the pool. Another time, he spit in the guy's eyes, told him to go wash off in the pool. So I'm sure that Bart was like, okay, I'm ready for Jesus to get the big loogie coming up here. No, just because God uses one thing doesn't mean he's always using the same thing. But I want you to notice that Jesus never even touched Bart. He never laid a hand on him. In fact, as soon as he got there, Jesus' first words after, what do you want me to do for you, was go your way. Like, get out of here. Then he said these words, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's saying today that your faith has made you well. See, we already knew that 2,000 years ago, Jesus took the stripes on his back. And by his stripes, you were healed. We already knew that Jesus came here to this earth so you can live life and have it more abundantly. And your faith will make you well. All you have to do is believe. So as soon as Jesus said that, it says immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I mean, think of how amazing that is. I mean, a few minutes earlier, this guy was blind, he was begging, and he was ticking people off. A few minutes later, he's healed, he can see, now he just followed Jesus. No longer a blind beggar, but a healed individual. So awesome. Well, look at one more story, and then we want to minister healing power to each and every person that needs healing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 30. And it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Same thing. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. So this time, two blind guys were following Jesus, saying the same thing, have mercy on us. And it says, whenever he had come to the house, so Jesus didn't even stop. He was going to this guy's house, and he walked in. And guess what? The blind men walked in behind him. It's called perseverance. They weren't going to stop. They were going to get to Jesus one way or another. And so when they got there in front of Jesus, and Jesus said to him, do you believe I'm able to do this? So he was, do you believe that I'm able to do it? And they said to him, yes, Lord, we believe. Now see, just saying, yes, I believe is not going to heal you. You have to actually believe. So what could have happened is one guy get healed, another guy didn't, or neither one of them get healed because they didn't believe. But praise God that both of them believed, because he said this. He touched their eyes. So this time he touched their eyes. But he said these words, according to your faith, let it be to you. So whatever your faith is what you're going to have, is what he was saying. And their eyes were open. So, you know, once again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. So whatever you believe is going to happen. If you don't believe, it's not going to happen. All things are possible to them that believe. Only believe. It's just that simple. Let's all stand up. If you need healing in your body right now, I want you to come down here. The usher's going to line you up. If you need healing in your body, I don't care how big or how small. Everyone can stand up, though, that way people can get down here. While they're coming down here, if you're watching us online, I want you to put your hand on whatever you need. If you need healing, I want you to lay your hand upon whatever's hurting. And I want to pray right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for those that are watching us online. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, right now that they are being healed across this world, across this nation. As we begin to pray here, there is no distance in the spirit. And we thank you for that same healing power that's there in their room right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you're down here, like I said, you know, once you get down in line, you know, they might have to line you up. But once you get down here and the ushers have you in your location, I want you to do something for me. I want you to lift both hands toward heaven, if you can. And I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you to think about me. I don't want to think about any ushers. I don't want you to think about anything. I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. I want you to expect to be healed. When I come, I'm going to lay hands upon you. I don't know what I'm going to say. It doesn't matter what I'm going to say. What I say is not going to heal you. I want you to know that the power of God will go into your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And as soon as I begin to pray, I want you to say, there it is, or I take it now. And as soon as you do that, the healing power will hit you. Amen. The rest of you out there, I want you to be doing one or two things, either be praying with us or be singing with the praise team. Amen. Father God, we just thank you right now for the healing power of God. And we thank you, Father, as we lay hands upon these, we thank you, Father, that healing power, God, will flow into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, that they will be healed in the name of Jesus. We're going to start with this gentleman right here, and we're going to go this way. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. There it is. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. 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 Father, hallelujah. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. A very strong healing anointing. Amen. If you already know that you've been healed, if you can sense it, I mean, if you maybe had pain, don't have pain anymore, anybody already know exactly you've already been healed. Amen. Raise your hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell you what, for the rest of you, keep the switch of faith turned on. As you believe, you receive. It doesn't matter, you wake up tomorrow still having the same kind of pain. You know what? That pain's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. And also, too, we're singing Waymaker. Man, if some of you are here and you're like been discouraged, you're like, I need a way. Jesus has made your way.
Yeah.
If you'll just lean on him. Amen. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Father, for people's lives have been touched, people's lives have been healed. But Father God, we thank you right now, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they'll make him Lord and Savior this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved and you want to be saved this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, man, at one time I walked with God, but I've turned my back, I went away, and I want to come back home. If you're here and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand, we want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And that experience belongs to you. And anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, lift your hand across the auditorium, don't be afraid. If you want to be saved, want to rededicate your life, or want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you they'll come to the saving knowledge of you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Like I said, if you came down here for healing, you need to know the healing power of God is in your body. And I don't care. You go back to the doctor and don't get a good report. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. Whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the report of the Waymaker, the one that came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And we just know that. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget, tonight, 6 p.m., we have service tonight. And then Wednesday night at 7 p.m. For you young adults, don't forget we have Synergy. Synergy at the RMA Auditorium. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., myself or Dan Taylor will be there ministering. Or like last week, we had a worship time, but just a wonderful time. Amen. Well, we know the way we dismiss around here. I'm going to ask the pastors to go on to the door and shake your hands. Oh, you're first-time visitors. First-time visitors. We're so glad to have you. The connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you, and they have a special gift for you. Amen. Pastors, go ahead and head to the doors. I know they switched doors up. I'm going to be at the north door. Me and myself are going to be in the north door. Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here is give us time to go to the door, and Dan will dismiss you. God bless you guys. Have a good day. And remember, Jesus is the healer.